Hello, everyone. We will continue in our Bible study through the book of Matthew, chapter 3 now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, one of these days, I want to give a sermon about this man, John. You know, Christ said he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. He was a relative of Christ. John and Jesus Christ were relatives because their mothers were relatives, cousins, Elizabeth and Mary. So here is a relative of Jesus Christ by the name of John, and John the Baptist, that doesn't mean he was a member of the Baptist Church either. The Baptist Church came along years, hundreds of years later. It just means that John had an assignment, he had a commission that he had to fulfill and did fulfill, and part of that commission was to baptize people. So he's referred to as John the Baptist. In another place, John Baptist or John the Baptist. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, that doesn't mean it was a wilderness like the Rocky Mountain wilderness or the piney woods of East Texas wilderness. It was just a desolate wilderness of desert and rolling hills and some trees. Unsettled, let's put it that way. It was a rough, rural area. And that's where he came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, where there would be settlements here and settlements there, but also rugged, unsettled terrain. And he was a tough, rugged individual, John was, and a powerful servant of God, fearless, and yet humble, very, very humble. And what was he coming and preaching? What was his mission? And what was his commission? Well, it says here, he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now notice verse 2, and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning Jesus Christ, the King, representing the kingdom, was near. For this is he, verse 3, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying. Notice now, here we see prophecy being fulfilled, Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. For this is he, speaking of John, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And he's pictured as a wild man. Hollywood pictures him as a wild man. They'll read verse 3, and they have some kind of wild half-animal man here. And that's not what it's saying. He was a tremendous individual, well-spoken, and a servant of God, but a rugged individual, able to live in pretty tough surroundings and situations. And he came preaching repentance and preparing the way for Jesus Christ, laying the groundwork. And what did he wear? Well, he wore camel's hair, which was a garment that was warm and tough, and a leather girdle, not girdle in the sense of a woman's girdle, but a belt around his waist. So he had this garment on that was warm and yet rough and could stand rugged situations. And he had a belt, just like men wear belts in their pants today, and a leather girdle or belt about his waist. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now people see that and say, locusts? You mean he ate locusts? Now that wasn't all he ate. And this wasn't all he wore. He had different clothes, I'm sure, but this is what he wore quite often. And he had different food, but this is what he ate quite often out in the wilderness, wild honey and locusts. Now, personally, I like honey, but personally, I don't like locusts. But you know, if it came down to eating locusts, and that's all the food I had, I would eat locusts because they're clean. And they can be eaten, and they're a source of protein. And of course, it depends on how they're prepared. Did you know in some of these countries in this area right here, people today eat locusts? What about that? Is that proper? Well, let's go to just one of several areas we could go to clear this up. But let's turn over here to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, we know that clean and unclean foods are mentioned in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. And now notice verse 20 of Leviticus 11. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Verse 21. Yet these may you eat of every flying, creeping thing that goes upon all fours, which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them you may eat, the locust after his kind, and the ball locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. For these you shall be unclean. Whatsoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean unto the even. So John didn't do anything wrong. He ate a locust, which is kind of a large grasshopper. They were prepared in a certain way and with wild honey. And that's some of what he ate. He ate other things, I'm sure, but that's some of what he ate. We don't do that today. At least I don't. Doubt if any of you do. But you know, the time might come when, let's say, we're in a place of safety and we need to have food. The time might come when God serves us with manna. He might serve us with other food, and he might serve us with wild honey, and we learn how to dress and cook locusts to where that becomes part of our meal. If that's what it comes down to, the Bible says that's described in Leviticus 11, as we just read, that's clean food to eat, and it's probably high in protein. I must say that thought will not keep me from going to the place of safety, but that thought will make me hope that there's other choices and options in the place of safety than locusts. But if there isn't, then we'll learn how to eat them like John ate them. I'm spending a little time on this because verse 4 of Matthew 3 is spun totally out of control and depicts in this world today John in a way that he is not at all. They depict him in the utterly ridiculous way that is opposite to the way he really was. He was a very powerful servant of God, balanced, normal, rugged, masculine man who was tough and could rough it. And he got the job done and he carried out his commission. And he wore clothes and ate food that was available to him at the time, all within God's law, all proper, all fitting, and all clean and all good for him. And the Bible shows that very clearly. So I wanted to take some time with verse 4 of Matthew 3 to explain that. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, or come to be baptized, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, a brood of snakes, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You come out here wanting to be baptized, thinking that'll save you from the wrath to come, but you are hypocrites and a bunch of snakes. So what are you showing up to be baptized for? Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, worthy of repentance. You need to repent. You need to change. You need to overcome. Then we can talk about baptism. But you run around here being the evil people that you are, hypocrites, teaching false doctrine, making merchandise of people, and then you show up and want to be baptized along with those who truly have repented and should be baptized. No, you're not going to be baptized. You're going to have to bring forth fruit meet for repentance before you'll be baptized, you snakes. He was powerful and strong to them, and John was a strong, powerful man. Continuing now in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. God can do whatever he wants and get done whatever he wants. And if he needed to, he could raise up stones to do his work, quite frankly. And we need to remember that. It's a real privilege and honor to be in God's church and be a part of his work to carry out his twofold commission. But we never want to get to thinking, well, that makes us big shots. No, God could push us aside and raise up stones if he wanted to get his work done. He's still going to get his work done, and he's still going to keep his church going. But he wants to through us if we'll get out of the way and let him do it. And I think we are, brethren, I really do. And he is getting it done through us, and let's be thankful. But let's just remember, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham and to raise up children to do whatever he wants. He's called us. Let's fulfill that calling, and I think we are. Verse 10, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. We can't just stand still. We can't just pull our oars out of the water. We can't just coast along. We've got to bear fruit. We've got to overcome. We've got to grow. Let's examine ourselves as we get ready for the Passover and make sure that we are growing, we are progressing, we are overcoming. And I can tell you right now, I think we are. But let's bear down and make sure. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's baptizing them, and it's the baptism of repentance that's preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come. But his baptism was to repentance, and the baptism that happens once Jesus Christ is here also includes the laying on of hands and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit and being begotten with the Holy Spirit. And John explains that. And notice he says, he's mightier than I am. In one place it says, I'm not worthy to even buckle his shoes, his sandals. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, to carry around. He's so much mightier and holier than I. What kind of baptism is he going to do? He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And fire, the baptism of fire, of course, is the lake of fire. He mentions the whole process of salvation here in one statement, John does. The process of being called, process of being baptized, the process of receiving the Holy Spirit, and the process of those who do not fulfill their calling being put into the lake of fire and baptized with Gehenna fire. Jesus Christ is able and will do that. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand. A better translation is a winnowing fan. He sorts out those who are going to be in the kingdom and those who are not going to be in the kingdom. And he judges, and then he renders a decision. And those who have obeyed him go into the kingdom, and those who have disobeyed him and will not change go into the lake of fire and are burned up. Notice verse 12. This is John speaking here, John the Baptist, whose fan or winnowing fan, another translation, scoop, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, his threshing floor, spiritually speaking, and gather his wheat into the garner or the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see the message here. It's talking about Jesus Christ judging those who are going to be in his kingdom because they've obeyed him fully, and those who are going to be in the lake of fire because they will not change. They're incorrigibly wicked. And so he's preaching to the people there who came out to be baptized of him and teaching them and preaching them the truth and warning them, and he's indicting those hypocrites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he was a very powerful man preparing the way for Jesus Christ then to come and carry out his human ministry on this earth. Now notice verse 13, very, very interesting and important. Matthew 3:13. Then came Jesus, or cometh Jesus, from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. Who am I? I can't baptize you. You're my Savior. I want you to baptize me. How can I possibly baptize you? And besides that, you don't need to be baptized. You're perfect. You've never sinned. But Jesus Christ did want to be baptized. It's true he was perfect. It's true he never did sin. But he set the example that we are to follow. He explained what we should do, and then he showed what we should do. He explained about repentance, and then he showed that we are to be baptized. Of course, he had the Spirit from birth. We receive it after baptism and the laying on of hands. Look at this. Jesus Christ himself came to John to be baptized. And John forbade him, verse 14, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. Verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so. Allow it to be so. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John allowed him. He said, John, go ahead and do this. I'm setting the example. This is the right thing to do. I want to fulfill it. I want to set the example. I want to show what should be done. And so go ahead and allow me to be baptized, and you do the baptizing. It says here in verse 15, then he suffered him, or then he allowed him, or then he followed his orders, really, and baptized him. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. It wasn't a sprinkle. It wasn't a dab. It wasn't a wipe. It was a burial. He and John went down into the River Jordan, and he put Jesus Christ all the way under the water, and he baptized him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Once again, an example. He already had the Holy Spirit from birth, but here's an example of the Spirit lighting on him, showing the whole process and how important it is. And Christ did it, and we're to do this process of repentance, baptism, and receiving God's Spirit. Verse 17, and lo, a voice. Notice the word a. It didn't say the voice of God. But it says, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This was an angel speaking in the first person as a representative of God and as a spokesman of God, carrying the message of God to Jesus Christ and those around that heard it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He didn't say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am proud. I'm proud of him. I'm really proud of him. God hates pride. And we shouldn't be saying, I'm proud of this and proud of that. But we can say, I'm pleased, well pleased. And that's what he said. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so that concludes chapter 3. So we'll stop there and pick it up with chapter 4 next time. Until then, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.